Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hope you're doing well.
Welcome back to another episode of the Connected and Committed podcast. Yeah. I just blanked for a second.
Yeah. Well, and to people who are watching, thank you for watching.
Yes. Second video on YouTube.
Yeah. And obviously, there's going to be a lot more. I wonder if, like, if you're someone who watches our podcast, were you listening to our podcast before? And if that's the case, you can put that in the comments. Oh, look at that.
Whoa.
I'm a YouTuber now.
No, that's good to know.
Just no, so I'd we be can curious.
See the difference. Because some people, my brother, I was talking to him about it, and he's like, oh, I would actually watch that. I'm like, I don't watch podcasts. I just listen to it. But some people like watching, so.
I like watching more. I don't really listen to podcasts, to be honest. But I'm on YouTube a lot. Yeah. So if I were to actually watch something, and I've done that before, I usually like watch it on YouTube because I feel like especially if it's people I care about, I do feel like I connect more with them because sure. I can see their face. I guess that's a preference thing. But you listen to things all the time too,
like all the time.
It's in podcasts, it's in the books. I'm like, dang, like
I am always learning. No, I'm kidding. But I just like it. It just makes me, yeah, I don't know. I just like listening to things. It's fun. They're not all like. They're all just more like memoirs, and sometimes it's like actually educational and self-help stuff, but I really just like listen to memoirs or podcasts that are on business. That's pretty much it. That's all I do.
That's good. I appreciate that about you though. I'm like, wow, she is learning enough for two people. And so she's learning for me.
That's fair.
Yeah. So, I hope the sound is okay as well, obviously, because we're recording with these tiny mics, and I felt like the sound wasn't too bad last time. It was pretty good. Just the beginning because we were moving them around
trying to figure things out.
I covered it up with music. But it's I think it's good, and it's exciting to be on YouTube as well. So
so what we are, I hope you guys liked last week's episode. We're kind of, I'm not saying it's a series at all because I don't want to say that and then not commit to it, but it's kind of just like some things that we're summarizing about things that we hear people say, and that we're just trying to like wanting to gain a little bit more wisdom on how to know which advice to listen to.
Yeah.
Especially if you have relationship anxiety. And so pretty much this podcast is going to be titled Dating Advice You Should Never Listen To, Especially If You Have Relationship Anxiety.
Yeah. So I guess it's kind of like the same type of concept as last week. But last week, I feel like it was more like things that we hear about like in general.
Yeah.
Here it's more like the type of advice that, you know, a lot of people are getting about dating, especially when they have relationship anxiety, that we've heard before and that we hear other people saying that we think is actually not helpful.
Yeah.
But obviously, most of the people saying those things are generally trying to help.
Yeah.
But they're just kind of ignorant. I feel like that's a strong word, but they just don't know much about relationship anxiety. And so they kind of say things because they,
sure.
it's the kind of things that just go around a lot, but is actually not great.
And I think too, for people who don't have relationship anxiety, that advice actually is helpful, right? Cause I think for people who maybe don't have it, they could hear probably everything we were going to say.
Yeah.
And not feel like that's like bringing more anxiety. It might be like, okay, no, that's actually sound wisdom. That makes mm-hmm. sense.
Yeah.
And I can, that makes sense in a general context, right? But I think in a sense of, if you have relationship anxiety and you hear these things, this can make you go into a spiral very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And so just kind of like some things that we kind of gathered, not even a long list, but some of this will be more specific and some will be a little bit more general. But.
Yeah. Hopefully that can help people who have relationship anxiety or people who are trying to advise people who have it. So
yeah.
Yeah. That'd be good.
The first one that we put down is this not concept. Don't force it.
Yeah.
Not so, forcing it.
It's like.
I just want to reiterate it. Like,
yeah. So, yeah. The advice is like, you know, when you share with your friends or family or whatever, and you're saying like how hard it is and like, you know, because of anxiety, sometimes you're not even aware that it's anxiety, but it is anxiety. And like you share that with people and they will say like, oh, like maybe it shouldn't be that hard.
Maybe you're forcing it and maybe you should like just let that go then.
Yeah. Maybe it's not good for you.
therapists will say it too. I think that's the thing. Like I was talking to a potential client, and she was mentioning that a therapist told her that. And I think that's that, as we were mentioning, it goes from people who wouldn't even think that what they're experiencing is relationship anxiety. It's kind of just like, oh, well, if you're having all this anxiety and fear about this relationship, sounds like you might be forcing it. Maybe you should just let it go and move on. If it's that hard, if you're having that much fear and in torment about it, like make it easy and let it go, right? Like don't force it.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Like, it's kind of like, I could hear like a mother saying it. I could hear just like a really close friend saying, like somebody, friends, like this is something anybody would say if they didn't understand, if they don't understand relationship anxiety.
Yeah. I feel like if I were to share like what I was experiencing with my parents, they would probably either like be clueless and be like, I mean, I didn't have that, so I don't know. Or they'd be like, yeah, saying that. But I feel like a lot of friends would say that, you know?
Yeah.
Your
dad kind of said something like that. Remember you brought up something along the lines to him of you're kind of experiencing some fear. And then you asked him about like his relationship and he's like, I never had a doubt.
Yeah. I forgot about that. But yeah. But I mean, my dad also sometimes says these things of like, oh, like if it's like hard to have that much of a position, then maybe it's not right. You know, maybe it's not supposed to be.
Sure.
Which is questionable advice in my opinion, but yeah, I know he's trying to obviously help me because he loves me and he wants me to be happy. Yeah, chill out with your
I keep it so strong.
Yeah, just put it there, it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know, it's easy, because it's easy to say that because it's kind of like choosing the easy way. And so it's like, oh, well, if it's that hard, why don't you take the easy path? Which means maybe leave that person and don't feel like that, you know? You don't need to like do that to yourself kind of thing. And the truth is that even if that sounds like appealing, because you know that like, oh, everybody who's in relationship, who has relationship anxiety, I feel like most people can agree with the fact that the idea of like leaving the person you're with sounds very appealing, because your anxiety is trying to tell you that. It's trying to tell you that you need to leave. So if someone else tells you that or says something that actually like confirms that, you know, confirms that feeling, goes in the same direction as that feeling of like, oh, I need to leave. It can sound like confirmation that you need to leave. And so, yeah, it basically just plays the same game as like the anxiety.
Sure. And I also too think that it can feel good, but then also can feel like, I don't know, though, this person's such a good person and I actually really like this person, but then I'm having all these questions and fears. And then when you're not talking to somebody who would understand it and accept it, then it kind of starts to not feel safe of like, oh my gosh, like if I bring this up to them again, they're only going to advise me to leave. And I don't know if it feels like I'm supposed to leave, type of thing. You know what I mean? I think that's what, when you have relationship anxiety, it can feel really confusing because a part of you is just like, get out of here, go, run. Another part of you is just like, but this person is like incredible and so safe and I love this person. But so you hear this advice of like, well, you don't force it. They're kind of like, well, yes and no. Like, you know, it's kind of just like the vice might not even feel like it hits, but then it starts bringing more anxiety of like, oh my gosh, am I forcing it?
Yeah.
Maybe I am forcing it. Maybe I should just let it go because I am having such a hard time. Maybe if I was with somebody else, it wouldn't be this difficult. Then I should probably just leave, you know? And then it kind of just doesn't feel, you might prematurely leave a relationship when you really were meant to stay, or you maybe would have wanted to stay if you actually knew the truth.
Yeah. I think, you know, like I said before, people who say things like that, they just don't really understand how relationship anxiety works.
Right.
But because it is, you know, if you're not aware of it, like for me, like for us, I feel like we were not necessarily aware of what was going on. The only, for me personally, the only thing I had in mind was keeping it simple of like, if it's fear, I don't listen. And I wasn't aware of like, oh, what is the insecurity that's really there? Like, what is going on? Like, why am I like, why am I feeling that way and all that. It was more like, oh, if it's fear, it's not good and I'm not going in that direction. And it was fear telling me that I needed to leave. So it's like, I'm not going to go in that direction. And then obviously doing more work, I understood what was going on. But also I'm thankful a lot of people, when I had relationship anxiety, when we were in ministry school, a lot of people were not actually like pushing me to leave.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, surprising because I expected people to actually like tell me to leave, because we hear that, you know, a lot. I've heard that before, in other people as well. It's so common for people to say that, because it feels like the easy answer to give someone, because it's like, well, just leave. But they don't understand that the reason we feel that way is because of your own insecurities, your own fears, and not because your relationship is wrong.
Yeah.
They might think that, but it's not. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's true. And I think too, maybe we can give an example of, obviously we're talking in this context, but we're always going to just kind of give the disclaimer. We're never talking about abusive relationships. We're never talking about relationships that bring any sort of harm or that involve any manipulation or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to make sure that very clear. Anything that's toxic, that's never, ever kind of what we're referring to.
Red flags.
But there have been relationships for us that if somebody would have told us like, oh, like, don't force it, that actually would have made sense. And I think that might be helpful to give that example, just so people are clear of what we're maybe talking about and what we're not talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you also have an example.
I think that'll maybe make more sense in the second example.
Okay. Well, because for me, the person, you know, I tried to date before you, we tried to date for a month and a half maybe. And I was very much forcing it, because that's when I started understanding what relationship anxiety was, and I was trying to fight it. But at the same time, because I was so focused on that, I didn't realize that like the relationship itself was not good. It took me 3 or 4 times after crying to realize that I was in fact forcing it. Like, if you've been dating someone for a month and you've been crying like 4 times, maybe try to figure out why you cried.
Not out of joy, yeah.
Yeah, try to figure out why you cried. But like, if like they hurt you, because for me that was it. I was hurt like 4 times.
Not physically, but emotionally.
Yeah, emotionally. And that was like, okay, this is not working, and we need to stop trying. Because that was, in that case, it wasn't relationship anxiety. I was just not treated well, and I didn't feel valued. And the person actually, really, the person I was trying to date, they were forcing it, because actually they didn't want it, and that's what was hurting me. Because in their behavior, the way they were talking to me, the way they were like responding to some of the things I was saying was very hurtful, because they didn't want to be with me. They were just forcing themselves to be, because they thought I was a good person. But at the same time, they were not attracted to me. So it's like they were trying, because like, oh, he's a good man, so I'll try. But really, like, after a month, I told her like, hey, we need to stop, because I don't think you want to be with me. And she said, yeah, I think that's true, you're right, I don't want to be with you. I was like, okay,
yeah,
let's just stop.
This gives me the thought to an example. If you watch Love is Blind, we enjoyed that show. Last season, anyway, doesn't matter. It wasn't that good. But
no.
This was a season even before last season. Yeah. Irina and Zach, right? I think that's her name. I don't remember. I know Zach was his name, and I think her name is Irina. She was not nice, and she was so rude. She, in the pod, she was saying like, oh my gosh, like, I don't remember. I don't even care what you look like. I really feel like we have a connection, all the things. They saw each other, and she immediately had like a huge ick and just was so horrible to him. She was horrible to him. Any joke she would make, any touch he would give her, she just was disgusted by him. And eventually she was just like, yeah, I'm like done. And he actually said it to her, like, you know what? Like, we're done. Like, I cannot, this was so horrible of an experience. I've never been treated so horribly in my life. You know, like, that was really sad. And then he went back to the girl who he should have chosen in the first place, personally. Mm-hmm. And everything he was doing, all the jokes she was making, like, all she loved every quirk he had. She loved him. And he, you could tell how accepted he felt immediately. And there was not, this is the type of talk we're talking about, of the first relationship was so toxic and so unhealthy. There, she was forcing it. And he was just like, okay, if I try to force this, I'm actually going to be miserable. And I'm so hurt by how you're treating me. And then he went to a new relationship and it was, it felt, it was more natural. Mm-hmm. And they obviously felt really connected and it felt easier for them.
Yeah.
In this example, this is kind of what we're meaning of. If we're talking about forcing it, if it really feels like, wow, I'm in a relationship and I'm feeling horrible every time. And every time I'm with this person, it seems like they don't really want to be with me. And it really feels like more pain. I didn't say anxiety or fear, right? That's different. More pain and hurt than like actually good moments.
Yeah. Or like, know? I'm dragging my feet.
Right. That can feel a lot different.
Yeah.
And that those are types of things when we say don't force it, that's actually good advice. But when it comes to relationship anxiety, it only feels forceful because you feel so much fear half the time. Right.
Yeah.
And you feel a lot of thoughts in your head.
I guess for me, if I can put it that way, is like, if you're approaching people around you to ask for advice, but everything you're saying is like, you know, you expressing how scared you are and how anxious you are, then there's most likely you're experiencing a relationship anxiety. And if people are telling you that you shouldn't force it, then in that context, it's not the best advice, or it's not the good advice.
Yeah.
But if it's like you said, if it's like because you don't feel treated well, or like, you know, you feel like they're not nice, or I don't know, like there's red flags or whatever, or
you really just don't,
yeah,
toxic, like that person, I don't know, whatever,
yeah, you
know,
or
what
you
mean?
Don't like it,
that's totally fine.
Yeah, then that's it's different.
Yeah,
yeah,
totally. I think we said enough there, right?
Yeah. Is
there anything else you want to say about that? I just want to make sure.
No, I feel like it's fine.
Okay. And I think the second one that we had is, okay, if you don't have peace, it probably isn't right, or it isn't God. If you're Christian, you might hear it isn't God. And if you aren't Christian, you might feel like if you aren't feeling like peace about it, then it probably isn't right.
Yeah. Sure. Your intuition is telling you it's wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something you hear so often. I mean, I've seen it on like reels, right? You can hear it in so many different situations all the time. And you might just hear it in passing of, hey, like if you're not feeling peace about it, then maybe this isn't right. And I think, as Matthew was saying earlier, this is advice people would say just out of protection of like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want you to feel like you are not feeling peace about it. And if you're not feeling peace about it, then like, maybe it's not right. And like, then move on, you know?
Yeah. I think that there's also a misconception, but that we've talked about this before,
right,
around the concept of peace and following peace. There's like a whole thing there that is just wrong. Because like, if you just follow peace in your life, you're probably gonna just stay comfortable your whole life and not really step out and do things that scare you,
yeah,
or things that are bigger than you. And relationships can feel like that, like for real, because you know, like you stepping out of your comfort zone by being with someone, mm-hmm, that's you know, that's not peaceful all the time. Like, it doesn't feel easy all the time. Like, I think this when people say like peace, they're thinking like this sense of ease. It's easy to everything just falls into place. Are they feel like it's right, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's peace in that sense is just so subjective, because human beings are so much more complex than that. Like, we have so many triggers and insecurities, and especially like relationships, you know, like, and even today we were at church and they were talking about marriage, and in that sense, whether it's marriage or dating, like when you're with someone, so many things get brought up, like so many insecurities get brought up, like, yeah, so many triggers get brought up. Like, if you think that following peace is the only way, man, I don't know if you're gonna end up in a relationship ever.
You're always going to be having some sort of feelings.
Yeah. It's, yeah, it's, it is what it is. Like you're with a person who's going to trigger you. And it's not bad that they do that. I think actually it's good because it reveals like things mm-hmm. that you need to work on. And especially like with relationship anxiety, like if you are in a relationship and it is bringing up like anxiety, relationship anxiety, then it doesn't mean that it's wrong. Obviously we've talked about that. It just means that there are things in you that you need to work on,
yeah.
And you need to figure out. And the best way for you to do that is actually to stay in that relationship, rather than leave it.
Mm.
So when people say like, if people say that, if people say like, oh, if you don't have peace, it's not right. If you say that to yourself, or if you, people say that about God, like if you don't have peace, it's not from God. It's just not true.
Mm.
You know, there's so many, and we've talked about this too. There's so many examples in the Bible where like God was calling people to do things they were so uncomfortable doing and they didn't have peace about. But God was like, you're doing it because it was meant for them. It doesn't mean that it made them comfortable. So I think Christians need to remove this idea of like, God will only ask me to do things that bring peace, or like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It will give me peace. Like if I'm supposed to go somewhere, he will give me peace about it. No, that's not how it works. Peace doesn't work like that. It's not something that, God gives you to highlight where you're supposed to go.
Yeah.
Like it's just not, it's not the case.
Yeah. And I want to say this too. If you are, let's say you've had a cycle of really toxic and abusive or like unhealthy relationships, and then you finally get into a relationship that actually is like a safe and good person, everything in you is going to not feel good about it because it is going against the norm of what you are used to being with. And so you probably won't feel peace, right? You probably will feel like maybe even scared. You might even feel like, okay, this person just seems boring. You might be really hypercritical because you're kind of like, I don't really know. This doesn't seem like he just does this or she just does that and doesn't feel good. And you might, especially in a healthy relationship, you might have a lot of questions and it might feel so much more normal to leave that and go back to the familiar because that is what everything in your brain and body tells you you're supposed to have because that's normal and that's familiar. And you know exactly what to do in that situation, right? It's unpredictable and it's whatever, but it's also predictable at the same time because you know how to respond to that, right? And I think I've mentioned that in past podcasts before, but right there, you're not going to feel peace, right? And if somebody's telling you like, hey, if this doesn't feel good, or if you're like thinking he's boring, or if you're thinking like she's just kind of like, you know, this doesn't feel right, then maybe this isn't the right thing. You have to actually check yourself to be like, okay, why am I feeling it's not right? Why am I feeling, why quote unquote, am I not feeling peace? Why am I not feeling settled or still about the situation? There might be so much more going on. This might be just a different person that you've ever in something you've been familiar with dating before, right? This might just be something that isn't in your norm. And for whatever reason, it's going to be different in so many different things. You're dating somebody from a different race and never used to anymore. There's a lot of questions that can come up with that. Mm-hmm. You're dating somebody who for once it doesn't drink and you're used to people who drink, you know what I mean? Like there's so many things that could be different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that right there, it's really good to look inward to figure out, okay, right now I'm not feeling peace. I'm not feeling just like this is right. Why am I not feeling this way? Is it actually because of the person, or is it like deep down because of, I don't think I deserve this? Is it because I'm not used to this? You know what I mean? Like I'm used to something more crazy and this just feels weird and hard.
Yeah.
You know, I think if we're able to kind of slow it down for a second and actually look to figure out like kind of what's going on, maybe we can kind of maybe get a better picture of why we might be feeling what we're feeling.
Yeah.
And I think for me too, I mean, I dated you, for those who've been listening to us for a bit, you've heard my story in different ways before. I've only dated two other guys before I met you, besides like having little things with other people. But my first relationship was pretty toxic and unhealthy. And we were young and immature, and there's a lot of different things with that. But I remember there were certain things that went on there that when I finally was in like a healthy relationship with Matthew, I was super confused on why he wasn't like jealous more, right? Mm-hmm. Or why he wasn't like frustrated when I was late. You know what I mean? Like certain things that I was just used to responding from, you weren't responding in that way. Mm. And then I kind of got confused. I'm like, do you actually not care about me? Like, why are you not like jealous when I tell you that a guy just told me he likes me now that I told him I have a boyfriend? You know what I mean? Like in my head, I thought that he'd be like mad at me for one, and then mad about the situation and just like have a bigger reaction. And he was just so calm and just like, oh, okay. Like you were just so relaxed and just like, oh, that's like a bummer that he would do that, whatever. But like, okay, like, thanks for telling me. And then you moved on.
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember telling you later, I talked to you about it. Cause I was like, yeah, that action didn't make sense to me. And I think I wanted him to get angry. Cause that to me, at least I knew what to do with that. You know what I mean? I'd be like, okay, like he just really cares and he really wants me. And that makes me feel good. But you weren't giving me the same satisfaction of what was making me feel good before because it was toxic before, you know? Mm. And so now that you were actually a good man and actually safe, you were coming from a healthy place. And so you were really settled and calm. And that was really, really weird for me. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of people can experience stuff like that where, you know, when you're with a healthy person and a person who's safe and actually wants to understand you and love you and know you, they aren't typically, right? I mean, they shouldn't have this like crazy big reaction or jealous reaction or just like super, super like, oh my gosh, for things. Like typically it's coming from a good, an unhealthy place or a place of distrust or insecurity in them. And you were obviously way more secure in our relationship than I was. Mm-hmm. And you trusted me and you trusted in yourself too. I think that was really, really different for me. So typically I think in that I'd be like, oh my gosh, like maybe he doesn't like me. And I'd probably start overthinking and getting in my head and being like, well, maybe he doesn't really love me. You know, I would probably question so many things right there. But I just brought it up to you obviously. And then I was just like, oh, I'm relearning how to actually have a healthy relationship. I never had one before. Yeah. That's crazy. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny that like people would say that, you know, like, oh, like if it's not peace, if there's no peace, like it's not right or whatever. But the truth too is like that peace is not the absence of fear. Like those are two different things. I think that peace is something that's always there. It's something that's constant. It's something that rules and is always available for everyone. But fear is something that like we pick up on and we let fear influence us and influence our decisions and influence our behavior. But you know, as much as we choose fear when we have anxiety, cause it's kind of the thing is anxiety is something that, you know, we dwell on because we, and that must be hard for, I mean, it's harsh, but whenever we have anxiety, it's something that we choose to have. It's not something that we're supposed to have. You know what makes sense?
Same. I gotta make sure.
You know,
no, I gotta make sure.
You choose peace or you choose fear. Mm. So,
yeah.
It's not.
And you can subconsciously choose it too.
Yeah, you can subconsciously choose it if you're not aware of what's going on. You either choose peace or you choose fear. So, whenever you have fear, or anxiety, is because you're choosing that. It's not because there's no peace in that situation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've noticed that even for myself recently, it's like, oh, if I have like a, because we have Joy and I, we have a business, and when you have a business, it's easy to be anxious because you want numbers, you want results.
You figure things out. Yeah. You're questioning everything.
You want to be sure that things are working. And sometimes you look at the numbers and they don't always make sense. It's, you know, it's nerve wracking. So because of that, it would be easy for me to dwell on that and to choose that. Because it feels familiar too. Like obviously when you've been experiencing anxiety for a long time, it kind of feels like familiar to feel that way because it's weird. It makes you feel like you're kind of in control. And that you can find, it's like you need to find a solution to make it work. But it's not the case, but I've noticed, and to be honest, it's been since we came back from Japan, being in Japan for almost 3 weeks, doing things every day that are fun and nothing about business, nothing about numbers, and really actually like choosing to be present when I was in Japan because it was my dream trip. I was like, I don't want anxiety to ruin that trip.
Yeah.
Well, I kept basically what I was doing is I just kept choosing peace and rejecting fear. And I was kind of like closing my eyes to the things that I was concerned about and letting them go because I was like, no, this matters. And you can apply that to your relationship. For me, it was Japan. For you, it's your relationship. But it's like this relationship matters more to me than all those worries and all those concerns. And so I'm going to choose to be present. And really, for me, choosing peace is choosing to be present. When you choose to be present, you're choosing peace.
Yeah.
So if you're experiencing a relationship anxiety, it's not because there's no peace. It's because you're not choosing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you're choosing fear. You're choosing the questions that you have. You're choosing the doubts. You choose to dwell on those things rather than choosing to just to letting them go and be present. And yeah, so that's what I've been experiencing for myself too. Sometimes when I feel like, oh man, like, I wish this was faster. I wish this the numbers would go higher. I wish this, that. And I feel like, oh man, like, what are we doing? Are we doing something wrong? Like, oh my gosh, this is so like frustrating. Well, instead of going there, I'm like, you know what? I don't need that. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep doing my thing. My business is working. And I'm going to just choose to be present and do the things I want to do without feeling like I need to worry about those things.
Yeah. I've noticed that with you too. Like you've been really, really steady and not feeling, I haven't sensed or heard really any anxiety since you've been back.
I've really been trying. And I'll say this trip was amazing for me because anxiety is such an addiction. It's such a drug.
Yeah, it is.
When you've been experiencing it for a long time, that going there and actually actively choosing to stay present in that trip, it kind of like allowed me to, withdraw.
Okay, I don't know what you're gonna say. Sentence.
Like recover from that drug addiction.
Oh wow, yeah. I can see that.
Because it's like, oh, I'm not, I've been for 3 weeks, I've been feeling good. Because I kept choosing to be present, you know, that like it allowed me to, it's kind of sad to say that. That's why I also, you know, we're trying to help people here. But it's just sad to say that I just didn't know I just forgot what it felt to be okay.
Yeah. I mean, segue.
Yeah.
We're literally going to talk about this tomorrow I guess by the time you guys listen to this, this will be
yesterday. Yeah.
In our membership.
Yeah.
Because it literally, it you can see in the brain how negative thoughts and it just includes anxiety. It actually is an addiction and it is addicting to feel good. It is literally addicting to feel good.
It's addicting to feel
good. It is addicting to feel bad.
Okay.
Negative thoughts are very, very, very addicting. I'm sorry.
And the sad part is that it's not as addicting to feel good. We all want to feel good.
It can be.
Yeah.
It can be. But it's like it's a relearning and a retraining of the mind. And it's crazy. Yeah. It's literally crazy when you see the science behind it. But there's chemicals in your brain that are released when you do something, when you're thinking negatively. And so as you're saying, like babe, of like how when you're thinking so negatively all the time, you don't know what to do when you're not feeling it. Because it feels good when you're thinking stressful thoughts. Like, you know, I'm not going to go into it because we're talking more about it in our thing tomorrow. And I don't want to, you know, but it's just crazy how much that shows up.
Yeah.
And when you let go of it and actually, oh, wow, I actually can feel good. It's been so long since I felt good.
Yeah.
Well, now I like that feeling. I don't really want to go back to how it felt before.
Yeah. And that's that time. And there's a time that I'm in right now. It's very like critical because it's like, ooh, you can easily like go back into that anxious mode.
Sure.
So you have to really be self-aware of like, oh, it's not even, to be honest right now, when I think about all those things and I'm worried and stuff, I'm like, it's not even worth my energy. So I'm not even going to go there because it's not, but then it's like, but then maybe you do need to go there, whatever. Sorry.
It goes back and forth, right? Yeah. That's what anxiety does. No,
but I'm saying like, sorry, because we're talking about that tomorrow. Right now we're talking about the thing we're talking about.
Sure. But you can see how anxiety kind of like, it, you know, it makes you feel like you're supposed to listen to it, right? And then when you don't, it just, you don't really know what to do with it. It's kind of like, I'm supposed to do it.
So, but yeah, I guess all that to say, like, you know, following peace, if you don't have peace, then maybe it's not right or it's not God. No, that's not how it is. If you don't have peace, it's because you're not choosing peace.
Yeah.
And it's because you're choosing to listen to fear. It's not because it's not right. Bless you. Yeah. So now, if you don't have peace, it's not from God. That's another thing too. I think we talked about that. Probably have an episode on that too, of like,
we do.
Just simply saying, like, God is not giving anxiety to people to make them listen. He's not a God of fear. I was even replying to a question on Perch lately, and they were saying, like, there's no, I took a Bible verse and I said, there's no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. And so that's the thing. It's like, literally, like, there's no fear in God at all. Like, it's not possible for God to use fear, because it's just not part of who he is. It's not part of his nature. It's not part of his kingdom.
Yeah.
He is not a God of fear. He's not a God of confusion. Mm. And the thing with anxiety too is that it's tormenting. It's torture. Like, anxiety is like, oh my gosh, it's so much pressure. Well, all those things are not things that are from God. God doesn't torment people. He doesn't torture people. He doesn't insist in its own way like that, because anxiety does that. Mm-hmm. It's like insisting, like, no, this is wrong. You need to leave. And there's a Bible verse that says, you know, love does not insist in its own way. And God doesn't do that, because God is love.
Yeah.
So it's like, he's not there constantly, like, pressuring you with thoughts that are tormenting and uncomfortable like that. You know, he doesn't do that. That's just not who he is. And I thought, I used to believe that. But now that I know God better, I'm like, it's just sad. I can't believe that I used to think that.
Yeah.
And so many Christians still think that. And this is why people reach out to us. It's like, people literally think that God is so, does God really love you? Like, do you believe that God loves you if you think that he's there to, like, pressure you and torment you with thoughts? Do you understand something? Like, it's not, what kind of father does that? That's like brainwashing.
For sure.
You know?
Like, if so, I think too, it's kind of like, obviously we're taught certain things all the time. Like, I don't know if someone's like intentionally saying, this is how God speaks, but there's a part of us that believes that this is what God would say. And then it kind of makes you question, like, if it was your, you know, was your earthly dad, if you had one around, or whoever your father figure was, like that, you know what I mean? Because if you wouldn't even be okay with, like, your earthly dad doing that, why would you be okay with, like, God doing that? I know, good, we see God as, like, a higher being, and I get that, but then it's like, why do we think that, like, sometimes we kind of have a really jaded view sometimes of, like, of a figure, like a powerful figure in our life, you know what I mean? And I think, I know for me, I had a little, you know, we have some little t trauma when it comes to, like, leadership, men leadership in my life, not my dad, thank God, not my dad, but, like, men leadership in my life who were pastors in my life who were like that. They did lead in that way. They led out of, like, control and power and kind of force.
Yeah.
And I think if we see it in, like, our eyes of this is what's normal, then we see it and then we see God that way. This can be in any way. This can be from a teacher you had. This can be from, like, any, like, a boss, you know what I mean? But I think that we see earthly people that way, and sometimes we just associate that of, like, well, this would make sense that God would do that, you know what I mean? Like, of course he's going to come in this really torturous, intense way to have me listen. It's like, wow, you for one see yourself so small, and then you see God as so horrible. It's like a twofold thing of, you don't need, like, you have to actually be able to believe that I don't actually need to be tortured in order for me to understand that what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah.
Like, don't see yourself in such a way that, like, in such a small way that way. Like, I have to be taught that way. Like, wow, like, that's not a good way to see yourself, for one, or a good way to see somebody who you love, or somebody who you would see as who has power over you, right?
Yeah. Like, also, God is the most trusting being ever to exist. So, as someone who trusts people because he loves people. And that's also why he gave us free will, because he trusts that we can make the right decisions. He's not controlling. And that's a very controlling view of God, to think that he would actually, like, use anxiety to give us direction.
Yeah.
And that's just not, that's just so far from who he is and so far from like his like ways of like speaking to us. But if for some reason it's an idea that is common in a lot of churches, you know, and it's also an idea that, you know, a lot of people think when they think of God, because I guess it's been portrayed like that a lot, of like this controlling figure. But he's not like that, and he's not expecting us to make perfect decisions, but he does trust us with our decisions too. Like, he's with us in the decisions that we make, and they're not all good, but it doesn't, it's not because it's, the decision is not perfect that he's not with us anymore, because then it's a very conditional love if that's the case. And his love is unconditional. His nothing, like the Bible says, nothing can separate us from his love.
Right.
So really, he's always there, and he's not letting us go. If you think he's not with you anymore, then that's a you problem. Like, that means that you're, he's not with you because you believe that. But he, if you ask him, are you with me? He will say, yes, I am. Mm-hmm. You think I'm not. So you live your life with, but that's a, we're like preaching now, but just, that was also for people who are Christians and maybe feel like that too, or people, they've heard people tell them that, or they even believe that for themselves, because they know that's very common too. Well, that's not a good advice. Like, if you don't have peace, and it's not from God, or it's not right.
Right.
No, that's not true, because peace and fear are two different things. You choose peace or you choose fear.
Right.
That's not because fear is there that there's no peace. No, that's not, that's not like that. It's fear good. Is there because you choose it.
Right.
And peace is there because you choose it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say too, just the last thing on, we really hit that point, which I loved. I think that sometimes, I think whoever needed to hear that, that was for you. And I'm hoping that really resonated with you. The third thing is kind of more general, but I wanted to kind of like put it in this context too, of pretty much any advice that you hear, that for you puts you in some sort of spiral and of anxiety, that's something to look more into, I should say. I'm not even saying that the advice that they're giving you, whatever it is, it could actually be, like good for somebody else. But sometimes we hear things because we might be right now more susceptible to anxiety, because we're right now, when you're already feeling relationship anxiety, you're like heightened. Everything you hear, you're super sensitive to it, and it might bring you into a spiral very, very quickly. So you're kind of like guarded and heightened and kind of like, okay, like how do I, like anything could set me off at any moment, right? And so you might be going down the street and you're like, okay, I'm scrolling on Instagram and you see something and it's just like, oh my gosh, like another thing that's bringing fear. Like for some, I had a client, I know that something for them was, they saw something about, you know, if you pretty much, if you're young and you're dating, like that, like you should be really using your time of you being young, like really like pretty much like kind of like serving the Lord. And then if you're older, like pretty much if you're too young, I don't know, you should kind of see, maybe you should be single in a sense. Like that's kind of what they got out of it. There was something they saw and it kind of from them was like, oh my gosh, I'm young and I'm in a relationship. Maybe I should break up with them because I'm not ready for it. For example, like you see something that kind of like, oh my gosh, maybe this is for me. Maybe I was supposed to see this and now I'm like, I'm questioning everything. You know what I mean? And I think this happens often for literally anything you're wanting to see, you will see it, right? So right now, if we're looking through our anxious relationship anxiety eyes, you'll see something that it's kind of like looking for, that's leading you toward the direction of, oh, okay, there it is. You're supposed to leave your partner. There it is. This is the sign that we've been looking for, type of thing. Because it seems like when you're, as much as you are wanting peace, if you're thinking in that negative mindset, you are going to find things that are going to reinforce that mindset always. It can be the same thing if you have insecurities in your body, for example, and then you see something on TikTok that kind of like, oh, like brings you into that, spirals you so quickly. I'm like, yep, there it is. Like my body's worthless. I need to lose weight. I need to binge. I need to whatever. Like it can goes so quickly based off of whatever you're ready feeling, you know? So if you wake up in the morning, you're feeling anxious and you're like, oh my gosh, like I'm already feeling anxious. I'm feeling all this anxiety. I'm going to try to push it down and move on. But you're kind of filling it to the brim of like, let's say the level of your neck, like the anxiety is just sitting there. Okay. And then you go on, you hear something from your mom of like, oh, like, I don't know. It could be anything. Mm-hmm. It could be something so subtle and they're kind of like not even saying anything in regards to you, but you're like, you take it as this is about me. You know what I mean? And then it kind of makes you freak out. In those moments, I think it's really, really important just to be like really cautious about what you're allowing to impact you, I should say. Because anything can impact you if you let it. But if you don't allow it to impact you, you can just take it as like, this has nothing to do with me. I'm going to let it go. Let it bounce off of me and move on because I'm not going to let anything bring me down as quickly as it doesn't need to be. You know what I mean? You have control of your situation. You have control of how you respond to anything you hear. And so if you hear something that's actually making you feel anxiety, pressure, torment, fear, like questioning everything, doubting all the things that you were just confident about 2 seconds ago, then it might be something where it's like, okay, I actually don't need to take in what I'm hearing. Maybe I'm misinterpreting it wrong. I'm just going to let it go and move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's good. I think that we said a lot here. I think we also like branched out a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of content in this episode, but I think it's good. And I hope that you guys enjoy that and also find it helpful.
Mm.
We, you know, putting out content like that every week is a challenge sometimes, but we really hope that it helps people. So if it helps you,
please let us know.
Yeah, let us know. Put it in the comments if you're on YouTube.
Or write a review if you're on the podcast.
Yeah, if you're on the podcast, like on Apple or Spotify or whatever, like do whatever you can to let us know. But yeah, also, so we're starting something new. I think we touched on that last week.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, many of you know, or if you're new, you're learning now, we have a platform called Perch where we answer people's questions. And we also have a community there. So we're going to put the link below for people who are really trying to like overcome relationship anxiety and want to be part of that community. But regardless of that, people ask us questions on there. And we just decided to do like once a week, like our podcast, to answer questions on the podcast.
Then you'll see a video response on the Perch answer. Yeah. So we're trying something new, see how the video response works. But
yeah,
we're going to go for it. We're just going to summarize the question and then we will answer it. So the main topic is how to deal with him being friends with people that don't share the same values as we do. And they talk about how they're in a long-distance relationship and they're engaged. And they both are Christians and they both, the partner, the person who's asking the question doesn't drink, but the partner doesn't really either. But they're hanging out with people right now who get drunk, who are, they're, most of his friend group, I guess, is single. So they kind of like sleep around. They party a lot. And I think the partner is asking the question is just kind of feeling a lot of anxiety and fear about of like how does like that can impact and the company that he has. I know that can affect him.
Apparently, but I think if I remember well, she said though that it has not affected him.
Right.
She's just worried that
exactly
it might.
They hang out maybe like a few times a year.
Yeah, which is not. I don't know what a few times a year is.
I don't either. So that's kind of hard to know. But
I understand the context. I wonder what you think about that. And yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that, as you've mentioned, and I know right now, when you're long distance, so much is heightened, right? If you guys lived in the same city, I don't know how much maybe this person would be hanging out with them because you'd be around more. I don't know. But and I know that they work together. I'm going to assume that this person has other friends. I'm hoping so. I know, you know, I'm just going to say my thoughts on it. I think that if you and I were long distance and this was the same situation going on, if you're hanging out with people who are just kind of like, ooh, doing like drugs or drinking. Drinking, I'll say drink because drugs is kind of different. Drinking and getting drunk and sleeping around, I would not be comfortable with that. I'm going to be honest with you, I wouldn't. I wouldn't feel comfortable with that because I'd be like, why would you choose to hang out with people who don't represent the things you represent? And I'm not saying you can't, like, you can hang out with people in a different context. Like, you can hang out with people who aren't Christians. I don't care. I think that's, or people who have the same values. That is not what I'm saying. I wouldn't mind if you hung out with them, had coffee with them, or had dinner. I don't care. But if you're around them doing the things that you don't approve of, that's when I think I'd be feeling a little weird about it. I'm like, oh, we're going to bars together, and then you know that they're getting super drunk and just like flirting with other girls. I wouldn't feel comfortable with that. And the context matters. So I don't know fully. I think they're just saying they go out to drink together, but he kind of drinks a little bit, but not a lot. He
doesn't get drunk.
Right. I can see why that would make you feel uncomfortable. And I can see why, I know for me, that would, like I said, make me feel uncomfortable. And I know that I agree. The people you hang out with really matters.
Yeah.
And I think if your boyfriend or fiance, sorry, is balancing out the people he's hanging out with, like, let's just say he hangs out with these people literally like 3 times a year, just because maybe there's like a work party and then they go out together in that way. You know what I mean? If it's a work party and they just happen to be in that context, I would understand that. And as long as like during the rest of the time, he's hanging out with people who are filling him up and who do have the same values and who do, it does feel like he's still, you know, doing the, like growing and doing the things that he feels like he wants to be doing. You know what I mean? Cause I think that really matters. It depends on the context of when they're hanging out and why they're hanging out and what they're doing when they're hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously, like if it was like for a regular thing, you know, that's his regular friends or whatever, I'll probably question it, be like, I don't know if it's the best people to hang out with. It seems like obviously she said that it's only a few times a year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that does matter. Because I can't understand that. Like when you have coworkers, they still want to like socialize with you, but they, you know, they don't know what to do or do something different than what they usually do. Cause I've done that even before, like when I was in school, I wasn't with someone. So that's probably something different, but like my friends would want to hang out with me and I did like them. Like I did generally like my friends at school. But like they would get drunk and take drugs and stuff like that. They knew I was Christian and they knew I wasn't going to take any part of that. But I did like go some places where they were like, but at someone's house and they were like drinking and getting drunk and smoking. But I wasn't doing it, you know? And usually like sometimes after that, they would go to like a club or something and I would not go with them because I didn't want to go to clubs. And it was like, 1 to 2 a.m. I'm like, dang, guys, come on, it's time to go to bed. You're only right now going somewhere. So yeah, it's, I think that it's probably not optimal for him to hang out with them, but again, it's not a regular thing,
right?
Seems
like it's just events. If I'm looking at it, just events and like, it's pretty rare when he drinks specifically. Yeah.
But also I want to touch on what she said, because you asked us that question because you have anxiety. So at the end of the day, like, and you also said, you also have said that you have not seen like that it affected him. Like his behavior has not changed or because of his a few times that he hangs out with his coworkers or whatever. So I think a part of that too is like you are worried, and that's not serving you.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, like, but that's my opinion. If he has like self-control and like, you know, he has not changed or affected him, and it's not his regular like company, like those people are not the people he hangs out with usually or does those things with usually, like it's not a regular thing, then, you know, I think that possibly you might need to learn how to trust him and let let it go. Because worry in like any shape or form, no matter what's motivating it, worry does not serve you. And anxiety does not serve you. So that's what I think too.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if it sounds like a lot of the right now it's coming maybe more from like what this potentially could do and the fear that's coming up about how this feels.
Yeah.
And I don't even know fully actually if he's hanging out with them and drinking, but I'm from the context, it could be so many different things. I just think that in reality, you've had this conversation with him. It sounds like he's been very responsible, and it doesn't sound like you're saying every time he's doing this, he is a different person or blah, 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 like anything like that. It sounds like he's still a solid guy and your relationship is pretty good. So if that's the case, I think I would just, one, have to trust him, but two, you can share your concerns, of course, because I think it's always important for your partner to know how you're feeling about anything. I think that's really important. But I think I would just be clear about what is going on, how things have been showing up for him. And if it isn't specifically changing who he is, and it's very, very rare, maybe these are colleagues that he's like reaching out to and just hanging out with and just like trying to get to know, but nothing crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's different contexts in that way.
She also said that like he's planning to stop working there at some point and it's not going to be like that anymore. So, you know, if you talk to him and he feels like it's something that he's okay with not doing anymore, then that's good. If he's like, he has a hard time letting it go, then I would just want to understand that better.
Sure.
Be like, why can you not do it? But then at the same time, I would also look at yourself and be like, okay, why am I worried? Like, is it like for real concerns, or is it like because of potential future, or like is it because I have a lack of trust in him, or you know, like what's going on there? You know, like I said, at the end of the day, like worry doesn't serve you.
Yeah.
So yeah. And for me, like I can kind of relate to what he said, like because I'm also a Christian man, and I've hung out with people like that, exactly like that. But it did not influence me
at all.
Like I did not, because obviously I was still going to church. I was still like hanging out with my Christian friends as well. Like I still had a strong community of Christians.
Right. That was your main source of community. But these people hung out with every once in a while.
Yeah. So sure. But I still enjoyed them. Yeah. But I knew like it wasn't the same level because we were not connecting the same way at all. And I would know. And personally for me, that was clear. And I knew I wasn't going to go in that direction at all. Like I was not interested.
Totally. I think that's good.
Yeah.
I think what we're kind of like overall just saying, trusting him, making sure you're communicating with him. And if you don't feel like, if you're feeling it's maybe more coming from your own worry and fear, that's something that's good to know and to point towards and figure out how to maneuver through that rather than maybe seeing it as like a behavior that's coming up from him.
Yeah.
Cause it sounds like it's not.
Yeah, I think that's good.
You hope that's helpful.
Yeah. Well, this is it for today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Subscribe wherever you're listening or watching from. Comment, review, share. And yeah, just
thanks.
Thank you for coming.
Love you guys. And we'll talk to y'all next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.